Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yaman, welcome to NITV Radio. Bertrand Tungandami Ngaya. I am Bertrand Tungandami. Coming up in your program this Monday, February 26, we have some current affairs stories brought to us by NITV's NOLA program, including the story of remote Northern Territory communities who are calling for a Senate inquiry into telco companies operating in the bush. And we also have a story about a property row in Queensland that's seen a positive resolution with land being handed back to traditional owners. We're also expecting some special guests in the studio in the program today: Ngalama woman, jazz and blues singer Lois Olney, and master guitarist Dave Johnson from WA. When they get here, we'll talk about their performance in House of the Heart, a celebration of the Lunar New Year, the Year of the Dragon, love, culture, home and family. But first, the latest news.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, the Kumanjayi Walker inquest has resumed with Zachary Rolfe set to give final evidence. Tradies go on strike at Canberra's Parliament House over a pay dispute. And Australia sanctions Russian prison officials after the death of Alexei Navalny. The long-running inquest into the shooting death of an Aboriginal teenager in Central Australia has resumed in Bantwe, Alice Springs. Zachary Rolfe, the former police officer who fatally shot Kumanjayi Walker, will be among the last to give evidence. Ahead of his appearance, Mr. Rolfe's lawyers filed a last-minute submission seeking to restrict the scope of his evidence. The legal team argued questions regarding eight use of force incidents, his police force application, and a series of racist text messages should not be admissible. The Nationals Party have confirmed that Barnaby Joyce will not be present in Parliament this week following the airing of footage showing the MP lying on a Canberra street. The former Deputy Prime Minister had previously refused invitations to take personal leave after blaming mixing alcohol with prescription medication for the incident. Leader David Littleproud has told Channel 9 he is happy to accept the MP's temporary absence from Canberra.
I'll take Barnaby on his word. He won't be here this week. He's notified me that he won't be coming to Parliament. He's having the week off, which we gave him the opportunity to undertake with his family, and I respect that. And I hope he went to church yesterday and all he had was altar wine.
Independent MP Helen Haynes has introduced a bill to Parliament that she says will crack down on political pork barrelling in the processing of grants. Under the private members' bill, all federal grants would need to have publicly available selection criteria and would need to be merit-based. There would also be extra reporting to the Parliament about the selection criteria of a grant program. Ms. Haynes says the bill would also require ministers who have gone against departmental advice about the awarding of a grant to explain to Parliament why the funding has been allocated. The federal government says it will be a few months before it delivers a formal response to the university's Accord report that has recommended a suite of changes to Australia's higher education sector. battle lines have already been drawn in the sector, with the collective group of eight universities arguing their court's funding proposals could ruin the international standings of Australian universities. The National Union of Students says it intends to work with the government to achieve a new funding model that addresses casualisation, job insecurity and wage theft. While Education Minister Jason Clare says he won't be drawn on specifics yet.
I'm not going to respond to individual recommendations today, but I've been pretty clear about what are my priorities. I want to make sure that more kids from the outer suburbs and the regions get a crack at university and succeed when they get there. I want to put more kids on Smart Street. And that's what this is all about.
Magnitsky-style financial sanctions and travel bans have been imposed on seven prison officials Australia's government believes were involved in the mistreatment of Alexei Navalny in a Russian prison. Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles and Assistant Foreign Affairs Minister Tim Watt have released a joint statement confirming the sanctions. They say the measures are the next step in Australia's efforts to hold to account those responsible for what they have described as grave breaches of Mr. Navalny's human rights. The government's first tranche of sanctions were announced on the 10th of December 2022 and targeted individuals involved in the 2020 poisoning of Mr. Navalny. Israeli troops and Palestinian gunmen have clashed throughout the Gaza Strip over the last few days as mediators pick up the pace of peace talks in Europe. Residents say Israeli forces shelled several areas of the enclave as tanks rolled into Beit Lahia, while soldiers and gunmen have waged running battles in the Zeitoun sector of Gaza City. Negotiators in Paris are trying to reach agreements over a possible ceasefire to free hostages held by Hamas and bring a measure of Ramadan respite to the battered region. In Senegal, candidates have cast ballots in a symbolic vote designed to protest the postponement of presidential elections. The country's election was scheduled for Sunday but was delayed by incumbent President Macky Sall in a televised speech to the nation on the 3rd of February. Former Mayor Khalifa Sall is one of the candidates who have taken part in the protest vote. He says the postponement is an unacceptable breach of democratic rights.
We cannot accept, with a stroke of a pen, being deprived of what is essential to us, that is to say, our freedom and democracy, and above all, our ability to elect our leaders.
Protests in Poland have led to the destruction of 160 tons of grain, sparking condemnation from Ukrainian officials. Polish farmers have been protesting this month against what they say is unfair competition from Ukraine and European Union environment regulations. They have blocked border crossings with Ukraine and motorways and spilled Ukrainian produce from train wagons. This farmer says the protests will continue as long as low prices and high costs persist and constraints from the EU's Green Deal remain unchanged.
At the moment, we have the especially large problem of grain imports to the EU. This has messed up all the prices of anything to do with grain. We are making less than it costs to produce, and if it carries on like this, farmers will most certainly not calm down.
Back home, researchers say a quarter of Australians have never heard of a critical heart disease that could impact over 500,000 people across the country. Heart valve disease is a condition where one or more of the valves in the heart don't open or close properly, which can lead to heart failure and stroke if left untreated. But a new YouGov study has found that a quarter of those surveyed have never heard of the condition despite it being a relatively common condition. CEO of Hearts for Heart, Tanya Hall, says common symptoms such as fatigue, shortness of breath, palpitations and dizziness can often be dismissed.
People often think of heart disease as someone who's had a heart attack, but there are many types of heart diseases that exist, and few of us are aware of the effects of aging on the cardiovascular system. Heart valve disease can also be associated with silent symptoms, which means that some people living with heart valve disease do not show symptoms or have no symptoms until their disease is severe.
And to sport, Penrith have been denied a maiden World Cup Challenge title, with the powerhouse NRL side beaten by Super League champions Wigan in England. A controversial second-half try for Warriors Jack Wardle and a gritty defensive display sealed the 16-12 win for the English side. It was the second straight year Penrith have failed to add the world title to their NRL premiership. They lost a heartbreaker match 13-12 to St Helens at home in 2023. And now having a look at the weather around the country, Broome cloudy, 33, Perth cloud clearing, 32 degrees, Adelaide partly cloudy, 31, Melbourne cloudy, 21, Hobart similar conditions, 21, Albury Wodonga partly cloudy, 32, Canberra mostly sunny, 31, Wollongong a shower or two, 26, Sydney sunny, 28, Newcastle also sunny, 30, Brisbane sunny, 31, Townsville isolated thunderstorms, top of 30, Cairns showers, 32 degrees. Alice Springs, sunny and 38. Darwin, showers and a possible storm, 32. And the Torres Strait Islands, mostly cloudy day ahead and a top of 31 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
I'm Bertrand Tungandame and you're listening to NITV Radio broadcasting from Nam this Monday afternoon. Coming up next, we have two special studio guests all the way from WA, Ngalama artist, actress and jazz singer Lois Olney and master guitarist Dave Johnson. With our guests, we'll be talking about their ongoing performance in House of the Heart, performance that celebrates the Lunar New Year and brings dancers and storytellers together in a work that weaves language and culture to explore home, family, and how we create a sense of place and heartfelt belonging in this country we all call home. But first, some current affairs stories from an Indigenous perspective brought to us by NITV's NOLA program. Remote Northern Territory communities in West Arnhem Land are calling for a Senate inquiry into telco companies operating in the bush. The calls come after a 3G Telstra outage that lasted for 3 weeks. The system failure impacted local prepaid electricity meters, leaving many without power and in a lot of debt. NITV's Letitia Lemke reports.
The remote community of Manangreta has been crippled by a 3G Telstra outage. When Telstra fixed the problem 3 weeks later, residents received staggering power bills.
I got shocked when I went back home and then I got told we debit on like $500. And then we started to get stressed how to find money and pay the power on.
Prepaid power meters like this are common in the community. They use the 3G network to send credits straight to the meter. Power and Water says when the outage started, the meters kept the power on, but customers were unable to monitor their power usage.
At the moment, they've got these huge debts and it's just not, you know, it's very stressful for clients and community members to have these debts. How are they going to pay them off?
There are concerns for aged and disability clients who may have to live without power while repaying debt.
And there's a large population of aged and disability in the community, and I think the government really have a responsibility for making sure that something happens. So Power and Water and Telstra maybe need to come out in community and actually see what's going on and fix it, wipe the debts and fix it so that it doesn't happen again.
There are now calls for a Senate inquiry with the communities of Manangreta and Warrawee affected.
Just quite appalling, and, you know, the Northern Territory government knows about the disadvantage that we live through the wet season and dry season. You know, the communication level is just a must.
We have been talking to Telstra directly around that and the lack of communication that went out to the community. That's the really important part. We know that from time to time systems can go down. We have it here in town as well. We saw the massive outage from Optus.
Telstra says the connection issues were initially caused by a mains power outage. Power and Water says it's getting rid of the 3G meters.
Power and Water have a meter replacement program to support the 3G changeover. That program is currently ahead of schedule. Yeah. And we'll continue to focus on delivering that project into communities.
Power and Water says it will work with clients through its financial hardship assistance program. In Darwin, Letitia Lemke, NITV News.
Queensland traditional owners are celebrating the proposed handback of a large parcel of land in the southwest of the state. But the decision has faced some opposition from the broader community. Dan Rennie reports.
Toobeea is a quiet little town 330 kilometres southwest of Brisbane. But a planned Queensland government transfer of land to the local Aboriginal corporation has caused some unrest. The high-profile mayor at the centre of the controversy agrees things could have been handled better.
We have encouraged public consultation, which is now happening. It should have happened a lot earlier, and if it had have happened, in our view, a lot earlier, then the community would have had the information that was necessary for them to be able to understand this, make their own comments on it and be involved in the process.
More than 220 hectares of land and river country will be handed back to the Bingable Aboriginal Corporation through a freehold transfer. Not everyone in the community is pleased. Michael Offerdahl, who runs the Toobeea Hotel, said in the statement the town was forming an incorporated association so we can have a democratic legal voice moving forward. And they are united in holding the state and council accountable for public consultation, but remained committed to working collaboratively with all stakeholders. Traditional owners keen to dispel any fears over future access to the reserve.
There has been misinformation passed through the community and extended outside of the region. I have reassured them publicly, and I can reassure you today and our broader community that we are not shutting those gates. And in fact, we will be working with a progress society that Bingable will establish with local like-minded people to establish what those community access guidelines look like.
Elders say the reserve has always been a place for everyone to come together.
The majority of the Toobeea community and the surrounds and all the farmers are very, very supportive of this transfer going ahead.
More community consultation will take place early next month. Dan Renning, NITV News.
Traditional owners in Western Australia have welcomed a proposed marine park that stretches across the state's southern coastline. Native title owners will jointly manage the park with the state government, and while the fishing industry opposes the plan, traditional custodians say all stakeholders must work together. Karen Cox has the details.
It's some of Australia's most spectacular coastline. Now a 1,000-kilometre stretch is to become one big marine park. From Bremer Bay to the South Australian border, it'll become known as the Southwest Marine Park.
This is a sustainable, sensible approach.
There are four separate management plans to allow for joint management arrangements with the traditional owner groups.
It just took us back to the old ways of working. There were no separate boundaries. We merged our language, we merged out with our knowledge of the ecosystem, and we drew on the strength of that merging of people coming across the boundaries. You know, we had respect for each other's country, but we recognised that there were connecting boundaries.
Under the plan, 25% of all waterways in the marine park will be declared sanctuary zones. Fishing will be off limits in these areas to preserve the region's biodiversity.
We think 25% is quite adequate, especially when we're talking about protection of our sea life, our ancient dream times of the whale, the sea lions and stuff. And we want to see those into the future too.
The fishing industry says the changes will damage their livelihood, but the State Environment Minister says the sanctuary zone will still be open for fishing.
When you still have 75% of the vast majority of the marine park open to all forms of catching fish, whether it's commercial fishers, recreational fishers, it just doesn't stand up to logic.
The government says the park will also provide opportunities for nature-based tourism and diversify the local economy. Western Australians have until June to have their say on the marine park. Karen Cox, NITV News.
And that's the last story brought to us by NITV's NOLA programme. We must now step aside for a short break. And when we come back, a conversation with our studio guests, blues and jazz singer Louise Olney and master guitarist Dave Johnson. Stay tuned.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Outside the sun is shining.
And that was the last sad song by Ngalama woman Louise Olney, also featuring master guitarist Dave Johnson. And I'm glad to say both Louise and Dave have just joined us on NITV Radio. Louise and Dave, first of all, welcome and thanks for joining us on NITV Radio today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Bertrand. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, now you're here in Namu, all the way from WA, for the second season of House of the Heart, currently taking place at the Chinese Museum in Melbourne. It's an event that celebrates the of the dragon, love, bringing together. It brings together dancers and storytellers in a work that weaves language, culture, explores home, family, and the journeys that we've all traveled to get to where we are in this country that we call home.
Yes.
Tell us about your participation in this. I know it's season two. We caught up last year during season one. This is season two. How has the journey been?
It's just as passionate as season one. Even more joy because the crew are like my theatre family. An extension of just goodwill, and the energy of each performer is brilliant and encapsulating. I'm one of many talented artists of Moira and Smith production shows that Moira Finucane and Jackie Smith put together. They're extremely talented and thoughtful people in directing us all to participate in their shows, and you can see by the energy of the play when you do come that it is a quite a powerful and moving collection of artists.
Yeah, they're all very talented artists from diverse backgrounds. I can think of Paul Cordero, who is of Chinese, Portuguese origin, Sophie Coe, yourself, Ngalama woman, and Dave. So many different backgrounds with a lot of energy, a lot of... actually, what I can say of the show, some of them just get you riveted, you listen and your art in awe, and I could see actually some actually couldn't help even, you know, wipe a tear after some performances, especially your story, Louise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long journey of sort of survival in a way, to be understood as a stolen generation child and adopted into a prominent family, and given the best of opportunities, and that's how I met Moira when I was a child. At 12 we became besties as children, and we've never looked back on the friendship. So it helped, you know, to be part of her shows with her partner Jackie is just mind-blowing for me, and just a wonderful experience to enjoy the journey of her talents with Jackie, and also to bring Dave Johnson into this because he's part of the family as well.
And it's a lovely family to be part of. Yeah, it's quite a fantastic cast, really. It's just that they have so much to offer, from Rachel Lewandon, who is just this amazing genius on the theremin and piano, and a fantastic producer. And Zhao Zhao on cello. And, like, she is just like this beautiful river that just flows through the whole play. Like, her music is just stunning. And it just holds the show together with this beautiful, heartfelt cello.
Yeah, and it's the setting is in the Chinese Museum in this dragon, I forgot the name of the hall, the specific hall, but with a really special decoration with dragons and very old and precious artifacts. How does it feel performing in such a place? And also, it's a small museum and with a restricted number of...
dragons.
The number of people who can attend.
Very intimate.
How does it feel playing in such an intimate setting?
Intimate audiences are really the best audiences to play to. You can sort of really hold them and really connect. You can sort of see people sort of the way they're responding to the songs, and that helps you even give more into the song.
Yeah, because you can think there's an interaction with the public as well. That's something that's pretty special about this show, because it's an interaction. You throw ribbons and people share their stories. And I was caught unawares when I was asked to also speak at the event and say, what do I have in my heart of the house?
And what did you say, Britt? What was in your heart of hearts?
It's just a wish for love in everyone's heart and... call for peace all over the world.
That is a beautiful thing.
No, it's just unawares, and how to step in and say something, which was magic, just to be in such a beautiful setting. Now, Lois, you sang a song that really, really, really touched the audience. And as I said,
which one are you talking about?
The first song.
It's a beautiful one.
Autumn Leaves.
Yes.
Autumn Leaves is, we've since found out it was a French song, didn't we, Dave?
Yeah.
And I had no idea. It was like an anthem to the French of love, an endearing love. And so I sing the song for my ex-partner who was the father of my son, and both have since passed and are in heaven together, so I couldn't think of a better place for father and son to be besides, you know, being part of this earth. But the spirit world, in my way, in my background of spirituality, is that they are together and they're safe.
That's a song that actually touched everyone. Everyone was quiet while you're playing, and then at the end, they saw just people were having a tear. And very moving performance with your voice coming out, and really touches everyone deep in their heart. Now, we must go to a quick break, and when we come back, we continue our conversation with our guests, Lois Olney and Dave Johnson. Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio, broadcasting from NAM this Monday afternoon. And today we've got a special guest, Ngalama woman, Lois Olney, and Master Guitarist Dave Johnston, who have been touring Melbourne, performing in the House of the Heart, a celebration of the Lunar New Year and love. And I'm happy to say that Dave has accepted to play a song for us, one of the songs that really captivated the audiences at one of the shows.
All right. Here we go.
This is Autumn Leaves that I sing for my son's father. He has since left this world, and I sing it from my heart to him, because he gave me my son.
I see your lips.
summer kisses, the sunburnt hands I used to hold since you went away. The days grow long and soon I'll hear old winter's song, but I miss you most of all, my
strength.
Yes, they certainly do.
How do you keep up with these two?
I follow. I generally just follow because I can't have that energy that they have. I have a severe disability of lymphedema, so it is a struggle from day to day just getting motivated and getting out the door and, you know, doing the day-to-day things that most able-bodied people can do. And can I please say, Bertram, I have a dear health worker here, Nima, who is my third leg and is an absolutely dynamic help to me and a blessing. And she works for NDIS and I am on NDIS and she's been my angel. So I'd like to say thank you very much, Nima.
Thanks. Nima is with us in the studio today, but we haven't set up a microphone for her to say a word or two, but really we extend our gratitude to our work with you and she does, because they do tremendous.
She has done above and beyond.
And since the last time we caught up, it was more than a year ago. I know, Dave, you work with youth in detention. And I've learned that you, Lois, you've embarked on some exciting projects. Maybe we'll start with Dave. Tell us about how you've been working, especially with the youth in detention. How has the work been going lately?
Look, it's an incredibly rewarding job to go in and work with kids. I mean, you know, kids are just delightful anywhere. It's also incredibly heartbreaking because it's a very hard place for any child to be. And, you know, I've been working with kids as young as 10, and it just shouldn't be. But my role is to go in there and teach music. And I go in there, every time I go in those gates, I just go, I am just going to have a great time with these kids, and we're going to find out which songs they love, and we're going to sing them and play them. And that's my goal when I go in there. And music is such a wonderful tool to work with kids, especially young teenagers. You know, sometimes they can really build their self-esteem and their hope and, you know, really explore their softer side through music and through their words. And
Do you work in Robben youth detention centre only, or you work across many other detention centres?
No, I only work in one, and that's Banksia Hill in Perth.
Yeah. Okay, Banksia Hill, which has been in the news for the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons, And I guess the problem is, you know, there is only one youth detention in
Dave, where we're the women's prison.
Oh, we did do that, yeah. Yes. We did. Myself and Lois went and played for the women at Bandy Up a few years back.
So you only teach them music, or other projects also to rehabilitate them and help them actually rejoin the community successfully?
My role is really particularly just the music, but I don't have much contact with the kids once they leave. I'm not allowed to, but when they leave, I'll give them a guitar. Or I'll try and rustle up a drum kit if they're really into drums, and send that off to the youth worker. And I just cross my fingers that, you know, I've taught them enough music that when they go out, they are going to have a little more to hold on to when they go out into the world.
Yeah, and I've seen some successful, really, really successful programs where the youth learn how to paint or some art. You know, they learn art, they learn to sing, write, and so on. And when they come out, they're actually really very good at what they do, and they can make a living out of it. So,
And there's some talented kids in there. You know, there's talent all around us, and there's a lot of talent in the youth detention. I think when kids really have the hard end of life, you know, I often think where the blues came from, you know.
It's
often not a happy place. But, you know, music is there to support, and particularly when kids are having a really difficult time, they can really lean on it. And that's when I see the real heart and truth of things, is when that music comes out of them.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah. And coming back to Lois, you've also been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I heard through the grapevine that you've started your own radio show.
Yes, I've been invited by Nara Radio to be a participant for a year to learn radio, be on the other side of the microphone, and like yourself, and interview people. And they really needed they call me the personality as a Nalama woman, because it was it's an Indubuddy radio station, mainly run by the sponsor, who's Michael Woodley. He's quite a powerful person in the community. He's a mover and shaker. I must take my hat off to him. But in the community of Robben, which is a small country town, and very hot, like 40-something, 39 in the shade. It is stifling hot weather and challenging. I come from there, I was born there, and removed at 8 months old, stolen generation. So to go back is an absolute pleasure, to be around my family and to be in country. and be around my father, who is the head elder of our tribe.
Yeah. Now, let's have a listen to one of your songs, Sister, and then we continue the conversation straight away. That was Sister by Lois Olney, who is just with us today in the studio. Lois, can you tell us about this song of yours we just played?
This song I wrote for, originally we were doing a play. I was a first-year student for indigenous actors, working with, being accredited by Edith Cowan Performing Arts Academy, and so we got credited by them, and it was a inspiration by Michael Leslie, who was a dancer and a wonderful human being for bringing all sorts of theatre and dance. He's actually a jazz ballet dancer, so, and Indigenous himself, I think originally from Queensland, but he was inspirational in getting 30-something students from all over Australia to come and do his course. And first-year students in the acting industry, we learned everything about acting. And we were doing a play called A Blackfella Version of Romeo and Juliet. So we had to write these songs to make the play ours as a version of Romeo and Juliet. I was Romeo's mother in the play, and Kamal was Romeo, and one of the other young ladies, I've since forgotten her name, but she was the Juliet of the play. So I wrote the song to give a feel of sense of sisterhood, and also in motherhood, because the sister girls grow and have children and things like that, then the despair of this discomfort of not being appreciated as a woman in black communities. There's a lot of domestic violence where I come from, and dysfunctional issues that go along with domestic violence. And so those are the issues that I sing about for sister girls in poor. Those sort of songs, my heart into those sort of songs to create a healing place of song.
Yeah, very powerful, very, very powerful. And coming back to the show, The House of the Heart, it's been around now for a couple of
weeks
almost.
Yeah.
And there's a few more days to go. And I realized that some of the performers who are listed, especially the star Mama Alto, was not present because she's in New York.
No, but I think she is coming back for the very last week. So the show has two more weeks to go. So it's running from Thursdays to Saturdays. Thursdays to Sundays, sorry. So Thursdays to Saturdays are seven, doors are open at 7, and Sundays doors open at 5. And Mama Alto is, we are doing this week. This is our last week in the show, and then we head back to Perth, and then Mama Alto is coming. I think the Muirs are also stepping in to do some. But Mama Alto, I think, has just come back from the States. She's a treasure.
She's a treasure. She's in high demand. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
National treasure.
Yeah.
And so we've got only two more weeks to go, up to the 10th of March. That will be the last show,
Yeah. Which
I hear will feature Mama Alto, one of the most anticipated artists besides the two of you. And the others, all these are superstars, actually, from right across Australia and the world, actually.
Yeah. Zitao Deng is another uprising star, and she's an incredible voice. And every time she sings, it just lifts my heart.
Yeah. Big time. Now, as we edge towards the end of our program, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to join us on NITV Radio, share your stories.
You're very welcome.
And
pleasure. And hopefully we'll see you over the next couple of weeks at House of the Heart.
I will never stop turning up and enjoying your performances. Now, maybe let's close on one of your songs.
Okay. I'm going to... I've been playing this one. This is a song that I wrote, particularly thinking of some of the kids that have been teaching at Banksy Hill. But it's called Let the Anger Go. And I'm just going to sing this one to the world at the moment, because the world could do with a little releasing, getting rid of some of the anger. It's too much. I know you're hurting, but you can't put it into words. You've got a history that keeps knocking at your door. Nothing ever changes when you're pushing against the grain. Don't you walk away. Take all the love you can find. Reach deeper into your mind. Let the anger go. Let the anger go.
Let the anger go.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.